say. All right, go.
Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of the College Breakfast Club, episode 13. Our Instagram is collegebreakfastclub_. Our Cash App is breakfastcollegeclub, capital B, capital C, capital C. And our TikTok is College Breakfast Club Podcast. It's Dara.
It's Yaz.
Chef.
It's Kev.
And we have our first interview. Our guest, we have Nasir with us today.
Nasir.
How does it feel to be our first guest, bro?
It feels good.
You ready to talk?
Yeah.
First interview.
Yeah, our first ever interview. So. Mm-hmm.
First thing you want to start off, how was your day?
It was cool.
How you feeling?
I'm just trying to get through shit. Mm-hmm.
Okay, how was your day, Kevin?
My day was actually just going fine. You know, cold again.
Yeah, this weather about that.
We only got sweaters on. This shit like
the <look. laughs> break out here
in my hands.
You got on a cool. You're fine.
Do you have on jeans with holes in them, bro? That's why your legs are like so cool.
Huh? So you got
my legs not even jeans. Cool.
Okay, let's just get started.
You want to start it? Okay. What's the first thing you want to talk about? Just talk about how you've been feeling and why you want to do the interview in the first place.
I just been feeling down, kinda. Mm-hmm. I would say. You know, I got kicked out the crib. And then just usual shit like dealing with your parents, all that. You know, like they be yelling at you, all that crazy and all that. You can't really do nothing because that's your parents. Mm-hmm. So you just gotta let them talk.
You gotta do this.
But like, it's like it been going on for too long, like, and I can't put up with that shit no more.
Why you think that type of stuff been happening?
I don't know. I feel like my mom got so much anger in her. She just let it out on anybody.
You think there's any way you could, like, what's the word? Like, try to talk to her about it, or, like, try to help her out with it?
I tried that. It ain't work. Mm. It's like, I can't, like, I just got to move out the crib.
Right.
Okay, so that brings us to our first question. Can a parent be bad at raising their child? We're going to let you answer that first.
I wouldn't say she bad at raising me, but, like, I wouldn't say she bad at, my parents bad at raising me. It's just like, I'm 19. I feel as though you should let me do certain shit.
She feel like she keeping you, like,
yeah, keeping you on me leash. Boxed in. Yeah.
Right.
What do you feel like you can't do?
Like, it'd be little shit, like, I can't get on the train, this, is that, and the other.
You can't get on the train.
Yeah, bro. Parents is like that. They
like,
so
overprotective. She be scared that something going to happen.
It's for your safety, yeah.
Especially,
like, right. I'd rather get on the train now and not wait till I'm, like, 20 or something, then I'm going to just be oblivious to the world.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a bubble and you don't know how to act in the real world.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes when they, like, are raising us, they're only acting based off, like, what goes around, like, what goes on in this world, like, all the chaos and stuff. So they just be trying to, like, protect you, like, do stuff for your own safety. But at the same time, it's like, you holding me back because, like, I really can't do what I want to do.
You can't do nothing. You can't learn nothing.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end of the day, if you're going to get killed, you're going to get killed. That's just going to happen. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen.
And this should be like, this place not safe. Ain't nowhere safe.
It's not.
Yeah.
There's definitely ways to, like, I see where parents come from with it, but a lot of the time, it's just like, all they do is go to work, come home, watch the news, and all they see is, like, the murders or this, that, and the third. And they're like, oh, that's what other young kids are doing. Is that what my kid's doing? Or is my kid going to get in that situation? They get killed? And they just, like, start worrying, overthinking, and all that.
Do you feel like your mom know you as a person?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you feel like you could tell her stuff?
Yeah, but
she's
going to go in one area and out the other.
Yeah. You had something to say, sir?
Oh, yeah. You can't fault his parents for acting the way they do, though.
You can.
You really gotta watch the news and watch what they see.
It's like we understand to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's like you're taking it too far. Yeah, at the end, like, of the day, he is grown.
You'll never know the pain of a parent losing a child.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So, of course, they're going to take all precautions to prevent that.
I mean, I agree, but to a certain extent.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
I agree. It's like, when parents be having leashes on you, trying to make tell you what to do, and you're 19. It's like you should have your own, like, you should do stuff your own. Like, you should, how can I say this? Like,
it's like they walking on eggshells. They feel like you can't, they don't, it's like they don't have that, they don't trust you to be a your own man, you know what I'm saying? Like, they gotta, they feel like they gotta pamper you and do all this extra stuff.
Do you feel like
maybe because when they was a kid, they was doing all the wild stuff, or, like, you know, going out, getting in trouble, and they feel like you're going to be the same, considering you their kid.
Yeah, but it's different
nowadays. It is. I get what he's saying.
A lot of things that they get as kids.
Mm-hmm. But not catching a train is crazy.
But yeah.
Not catching a train. I mean, it's a situation that happened for why he can't catch the train, though.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? It's all about safety. Safety comes before anything. And you got to take those precautions. Because, like I said, there's no way to explain how to heal from losing your child. Like, there's no explanation for that. That's somebody that you raised since they were born. That's 19 years of pain. Like, you feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All memories from when he was born to now. And that's just not coming back. So, of course, they're going to act the way they do. I mean, yeah, give them some freedom. But we know not. Eyes is a little, yeah. So, like, they gonna be overprotective about it. You feel me?
Do you feel like you could talk to her about any of that?
Yeah, I can. But it's just like, don't shit change.
So
it's like, it's to the point where I just don't even say nothing to her no more.
Are you, like, giving her a reason to not trust you? Or make
no.
you, like...
When I go, when she do let me out, I be chilling.
Are you sure you be chilling? Like, for real?
Well, not all the time, but I ain't gonna lie. It do be sometimes I be a little drunk.
Do you apologize and then do it again? Like, do you,
no.
like, break her trust?
Okay. Do y'all think toxic parents, or do you think toxic parents create toxic children?
Yeah,
sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm exactly like my mom.
And what way you think?
In what way?
Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like you carry her traits, like her characteristics?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, she don't, she just swears she always right. She know everything. I ain't gonna lie, I do the same thing.
So why are you mad at her for doing what she do when you're the exact same way? If that's the case, you gotta be different from her.
It's two sides of the same coin.
You can't be mad at her for doing the stuff that she do, but you think the exact same way as her. If anything, you should understand where she's coming from.
But it's like she don't be understanding where I'm coming from.
Mm. Like, he is two sides of the story. Like, his mom, oh, don't do that because that happened. Now he like, but that got nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying?
She trying to create, like, the perfect young man or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's trying to be his own man. You know what I'm saying? And that, I feel like that happens a lot with parents, especially in cities like ours.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think sometimes it could be like the toxic parent, then the kid could break the cycle and not be toxic. So
yeah.
I feel like it's like two sides to it. You could be the other side. Just don't act like her.
I think there's always going to be a perspective on it that even if you break that cycle, somebody could still be like, oh, that's a toxic way of looking. Or, like, even if you stay the same way, it's like, oh, that's still toxic. You know, either way, from different perspectives, no matter what, people are either going to still call you toxic and whatever word they want to use for it. And you can't ever get away from that unless you just, like, it is what it is. You feel me?
What are some habits that your parents gave y'all that may be negative? I think for me, like, I have their attitude. Like, I have a really bad attitude, and I get it from my parents. That's, like, negative. I'm, like, being self-aware. Like, I don't know. But
I say the same thing. My parent, my mom, is very...
My mom, yeah, her attitude.
Her attitude is crazy. I feel like I get that from her, too. Like, my mom don't know how to be quiet. I don't know how to be quiet. Like, I would like to prove my point. If you gonna argue with me, I like to argue back. I don't like getting shut up.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with him on that. What he just said. Like, to argue back and all that.
I got, like, two things. One is gonna be like, it's from my pop side, I can't trust people. Like, even if they're, like, the most sweetest, loving person ever, like, I still gonna have that little bit of me that's like, they might be slimy, sneaky, you know what I'm saying? And from my mom's side, it's not really negative, but it can be negative certain times. I don't care what people say, whatever, I'm gonna say what I have to say if I gotta say it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can get me in bad situations. Other times, it gets me in good situations, so.
Yeah.
I think it's my pride. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents taught me to be very proud, not to ask for nothing, not to accept handouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Like, that turns negative sometimes, because, I mean, it'd be real genuine people that want to help, but, like, I got too much pride. I can't put my pride aside.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I'll say for me, I won't say it's like a habit, but I feel like some of the traits that I got, like expressing myself and just like emotional, like the mental side of stuff. I'll say stuff like that.
Makes sense. Okay. All right, so we're going to talk about poverty. We're just going to ask you questions and stuff about poverty. Do y'all think, or do you think coming from poverty, like, can it be a good thing? Can it be, or is it just bad?
I think it's what you make of it, you know what I'm saying?
I think I was asking Nas.
I feel like it could be both sides. I don't know how to explain it. I can't explain it.
Which is about to answer.
I think it's what you make of it. If you look at poverty and be like, this is something I want to run from, I want to get out of here, you could use that as, like, motivation to reach your goals, to get where you want to be successful. Or you could look at it as a bad thing and play the victim and be like, damn, I'm in poverty. Like, what am I going to do? Like, damn, all I can do is this. Oh, McDonald's is right down the street. I can go work there and live there for the rest of my life. I'm cool. I can make enough bread just to make ends meet. Boom, like, oh, I'm getting paid bi-weekly. It's cool. I got enough weed to last 2 weeks. I got enough liquor, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it just turns into an endless cycle. That's what makes a lot of people stuck in poverty.
Yeah. It's like, you should use poverty for motivation. Like, where you come from, I feel like you're supposed to live from that and upgrade from that. You get what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. But, no, bro, I feel like, I'm gonna ask y'all, how do y'all feel about, like, people that adapt to their poverty, like?
Like, they just, like, they get their home.
Yeah, like, do you feel like they don't have no outlet, you feel me? Like, it don't go past this,
You feel what I'm saying? I feel like that's weak-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people who think like that, like I said, is weak-minded, like, you shouldn't ever think, oh, that's it. Yeah, that's how I feel about that.
Okay, so
especially in today's day and age. Let me add on to that real quick. And especially in today's day and age, there's, like, so many outlets to get out. All you got to do is search. And, like, if you got internet, just go on YouTube, search up, like, how to make money. Like, that's all you got to do. Read books, exactly. Just go seeking out mentors. If you can go to a motherfucking car wash and, like, ask the owner how to Sorry, y'all. You can ask the owner, like, oh, how you start this job from the ground up? Like, how do you build a business? This, that, and the third. Like, it's not much to do, especially if you're willing to learn and put in the work and the long hours. Even if you're not making no money, then that's it.
Right.
Yeah,
so, you know how, like, poverty, like, it's going bad. Like, I grew up in poverty. Like, no Wi-Fi. I was watching cable TV, like antennas, Cubo and shit.
Yeah.
I was the same way, bro. Pippi Longstocking.
And, like, you really got to create that mindset that you want to get out of that, because it's so easy to adapt into your environment. You know what I'm saying? And most of the kids nowadays, they tend to collide with the wrong people, the wrong group, you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like an endless cycle. But what if they don't got that figure to put them in the right path?
I always thought about that too. Like, what would you do if no one was there for you to get you out that?
I think it's crucial to have that figure to point you in the right direction, but there's no figure for the youth nowadays.
I think God's always going to have a plan for everybody. And if you are meant to be, like, a successful person, then you're going to come across it eventually. You feel me? Like, even just going to school, like, you might meet, like, a counselor or, like, some type of teacher that gives you that vision. Like, one of my mans, he started, like, a clothing brand, like, a year or two ago with a teacher put him on. And he ended up on the news, Pound Sock Pop wearing his stuff now, all these, like, bigger rappers and stuff wearing his clothes. So, damn, it's first star, something like that, yeah.
I thought you were about to say Spurgo.
Huh?
I thought you were about to say Spurgo.
No.
I said nobody want to add to that?
Oh, it's 5-star, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
5-star.
Does poverty mean that you're a failure? I don't think it do.
A felon?
A failure.
Oh, a failure. I thought you said a felon.
I don't think it do.
I don't think it makes you a
failure. Yeah.
Explain to us, say it again.
Does poverty make you a failure?
I don't think so, because I think everybody, besides people that had shit handed to them, started at poverty.
Yeah.
Not everybody. A lot of famous people.
They wasn't.
And they started from the bottom.
Yeah, I was about to say.
There's a lot of people, I'm not going to say race-wise, well, race-wise, you know, growing up, they just got that shit handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of people that got money since they were a child. They didn't have to work now.
Like basketball players.
Mm-hmm. 9 to 5, none of that.
Everything was gay.
Born with Wi-Fi, like he said,
born
having Wi-Fi. I don't think they even know what Cuba is.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
If you know. Y'all niggas was trash. I used to watch Cuba was crazy. Yeah.
All right, he wanted to say something.
I feel like you can't really count the days. You got to these count. It's like poverty is what you make out of this. If you choose to stay where you at, then I say it's like you a failure. But it's like if you choose to do better each day and work towards doing better, mm-hmm. it's not really fail. Mm-hmm. You're not really failure. So
that goes back to like the parents thing, where like the parents will like project their insecurities on you, like, oh, I failed trying to do this, so like you probably can't do it, or like. Like, I remember my brother was back in, like, 2018 was trying to start a business, and my dad was like, nah, that's not a good idea. Like, it's going to take this X amount of years to do it. I failed doing it. I don't think you can. And then my brother, like, that angered him, you know? It made him want to go more. But a lot of people, like Kevin was saying, they have a weak mindset. They'll let that shit get to them. Uh-huh. And it'll bring them down and be like, all right, yeah, maybe I'm not good enough for that. Maybe I just got to go to school, go get in debt, blah, blah, blah. And then not even know where they're going with their life.
Yeah.
Anything y'all want to add?
Yeah, I agree with y'all saying. Just basically use it as a motivation and let it be a stepping stool to your next thing. Don't let it be like your whole everything.
Yeah, like don't let that determine who you are. Because like you can make a way. You could get out. Even if you don't get out in the next couple weeks or couple months, couple years. You'll be fine. Just
got to rough it out for a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Consistency.
One day or day one?
All right, we're gonna go into like the mental stuff. Have anybody up here or in the audience dealt with depression?
Currently.
Okay. So since you're currently dealing with depression, what does depression look like for you?
Stopping me from doing things that I really want to do. Interacting with my friends, I would say. Not really wanting to be around people, just wanting to be in a crib alone. But yeah.
What do you think is causing it specifically?
Do you think it's like the environment you're in? Like, are you in a toxic environment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you
it.
Said. Yeah, I suffer from bipolar depression. So like, I suffer from bipolar depression. Like, I've been through a lot in the 20 years that I've been on this earth. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I got PTSD and everything. So like, it's little icks and little ticks that trigger. And with bipolar depression, it's not like I'm depressed for a week or 2 weeks. No, mm-hmm. it extends like months.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I could be depressed and sad to myself for 6 months straight, and then something will make me happy, and now I'm happy for the next 6 months. You feel what I'm saying? It's not just an on and off thing. And dealing with depression, it's not good to be alone. Like, mm-hmm. you should want to surround yourself around people, because the more that you by yourself, the further into your thoughts you get, mm-hmm. and the closer that leads to other things. You know what I'm saying? Like substance abuse.
That's the worst part about it, when it's like 2 a.m., you can't go to sleep, you're just like sitting there. It's just you and your own thoughts, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, damn, like, is it even all worth it, you feel me?
Yeah.
It's like, what would happen? Like, I was never suicidal, but, like, I always had those thoughts, like, yo, what would happen if I left? You know what I'm saying? Like, will people care?
Yeah, well, that's true. Substance abuse, like, I don't know about a lot of people, but the way I cope, I smoke, like, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I want to smoke or... I think it looked cool, but during the time that I'm high, it's the only time that I'm at peace.
Yeah.
Other times, I'm running through my mind, or I'll abuse alcohol to escape reality for the little time that I got. You feel what I'm saying?
I can't say I've been through depression, because I never felt like I felt depressed. Like, I don't know. I don't think so.
I've been depressed before. How I like what did my depression look like? I don't want to talk to him. Like, I just be in my room, just listening to like my Rowie or like Janae and stuff like that.
Just being your feelings, right?
Yeah, I just be in my feelings and stuff. And sometimes I'll like talk to my friends about it, but then sometimes I don't want to like feel like a burden, so I'll just like keep all my problems like to myself and stuff. But it's not good. We should all like talk about how we're feeling and let it out, but. Sometimes it's easier said than done.
Depression, I went through it, but it's just like I don't like to talk about feelings. Keep that shit aside.
If you're making me feel like I'm seeking attention, you know what I'm saying?
I'm asking for you to, like,
you said last
time. I don't want your sympathy. Exactly.
Like, me, I really, like, I come around y'all, and y'all never know if I'm really depressed or not. I keep a smile on my face the whole time. Y'all never know.
I think I get home,
I do that.
It'd be a whole different, like, situation. Like, it should be happening recently. Like, I ain't want to come outside next year. Like, I ain't want to sleep at crib, but he talked to me, like, I got to really, like, things happen. I'm going to keep it a being. And what I'm going to say,
yeah, it's a hard thing. Like,
thinking about depression is like, you know, it's gonna be people that's really gonna try to help you, but when you're depressed, it's like almost like you say, you don't wanna talk about your feelings, you don't wanna like talk about anything, so it's gonna feel like it's gonna come off as, well, you just don't wanna talk about trying to help them, so it's like you're pushing people away. So what I'm trying to say is like, what depression is like, when I'm depressed, like, you feel me, I don't talk to nobody, like I stay to myself, I push everybody away, they're trying to help, and like, I used to smoke. I mean, I still smoke, but I used to smoke to get rid of the depression. But then I found, like, an outlet, which is the gym I live. And that was one of the healthy ways I dealt with my depression. So it's like, when you find something to make yourself better, on your own type time, like, you do it for yourself. It's like, that's a really good cope for depression.
And another thing is, when you're depressed or, like, things be going on that make you, have depression, I don't, like, I would like to be around a lot of people, but it's like little, it could be little things that just tick me off. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't want to take my anger out on the wrong person that's trying to help me. So that's why I just keep everything at it. Because see, if I'm talking to you and then you say the wrong thing and I just black on you, man, we not cool no more, because, like, you get what I'm saying?
Like, for me, it wasn't like, it wouldn't come out in anger. Like, I would just, like, go silent and just, like, you know, stare off into space. Like, say, like, a teacher or like a parent or like somebody in authority. It was mainly people in authority, probably from like trauma or something. I don't know what it is, but like as soon as people start talking to me, I feel like they trying to express authority over me and stuff like that. It was like I just disassociate. I stopped paying attention. Like Nas was saying, it's just one ear out the other, because it just feel like an echo chamber. They just keep repeating the same thing, and it's like, I don't know.
Instead of helping, it
what they do.
Because of my thoughts. And it's like the mood stabilizers, they don't even help you. They just make you emotionless. So that way you won't be depressed, but you're not happy either, bro. You're just there.
Mm. No, yeah, it's like that movie. I don't know what that movie is, but he was like, they kept calling him crazy, but he really wasn't crazy. He just needed somebody to talk to. Like the Joker, if y'all watch the Joker, he was getting bullied a lot. So basically, they kept calling him crazy. They put him on all these meds, drugging him. And all he needed, he found that one girl that was walking by with her daughter, and they ended up talking, and he stopped doing everything that he was doing. Killing all of that, because you just needed somebody to voice them.
Yeah. Like, I tried therapy too, and it didn't really work. It was just like, I was just there. It was just like they would have me do activities, but the activities wasn't helping me, or it wasn't helping me express how I felt. So I just felt like it was pointless, and then I just stopped going back, because it was like,
call it this volcano. It's going to show how your anger is. Yeah. Like, that doesn't work. Like, I feel like the best type of therapy is like, being in your own element, like when you really find something you're passionate about, and every day you want to grow with that, you know what I'm saying?
Yourself.
Every day you got to grow, and then when you see that growth, it's going to be like, damn, I really came from here, and now I'm here. Like, it's that's really what brought me out of my depression. I started seeing the growth, started seeing, you know what I'm saying, and it really helped me.
Something that you're passionate about, it leads to a world where it's like, yeah, escape reality.
The happy place.
Like, you hear it, but yeah, you're happy.
Like, place. The word depressed is literally deep rest. Like, you're in a deep rest. Your mind's, like, just resting. Yeah. Like, you're not really there. You feel me? You dare, but you're not really there.
I'll say, yeah, I struggle with depression, so I feel like what really helped me was, it's like, you know, it's not going to last forever. It probably lasts for a couple days, a couple weeks, probably even a couple months, but it's not going to be, like, your whole thing. What helped me was, I'll probably say listening to music, too, and, like, talking to my friends and stuff, and even when we just, like, you know, when we just be together,
we don't do nothing, just on my phone,
being in the company of people that you really love and stuff. It's like,
surround yourself with positive energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, even if we just chilling, we don't even got to go out, we'll just be sitting in the house, laying in the bed together, and that's just, like...
Mm-hmm. Energy's a real thing, yo.
Yeah,
it really could bring up your spirits.
You really feel off it. You feed off the energy, bro.
I got two questions for all y'all. I got two questions for all y'all. What do y'all feel like triggered depression, or like your triggers for you?
I'll say what we were talking about yesterday, like trauma.
Yeah, trauma.
Trauma and things that. My main thing is trauma. I'm gonna say trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My main thing was I couldn't see myself like not even like a year in the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like in such a bad mental state. It was just like, damn, what am I gonna be doing next year? Am I just going to be, like, laying here and doing the same thing? You know what I'm saying? It was just like...
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
It really was... That's what really got me, like, really depressed. I was just like, damn, like I can't even put it into words. It was bad. Like,
what y'all say about that graduation stuff?
Postpartum?
Yeah.
Post-graduation.
Yeah, like, not knowing what you're doing with your life, that can lead to depression, because it's like,
sure.
Dang, bro, like, am I really just going to be sitting here doing nothing with my life, not making my mom proud, things like that. That can lead to depression, too.
Yeah, I would say that's mainly what led to depression, and just past things that happened to me.
Yeah, trauma.
Trauma, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, me personally, I feel like it's family ties for me, because growing up, I was going through my mom, my dad's household, court. Duke's had cancer. It's like, I had really bad problems with my family, so it's like every time I was bouncing back from each household, it was like I was beefing with my mom, beefing with my pop. It's like, and they would do stuff and it would trigger me, and I would just shut down. And I would leave the house, I wouldn't come back, I wouldn't call nobody, I wouldn't talk to nobody. And it just, like, I just feel like for me, it was my family ties that triggered my depression.
I mean, it's so bad when it's coming from your family, too. It's like, you're supposed to be my support system.
Yeah, my outlet. Yeah.
And it don't even, like, family.
And then?
Family is crazy nowadays.
And then it'd be like, my mom, like, she be bringing me down, like, as far as basketball. Like, she know I take that shit. She be like, you don't got no career in this. You're not going to make it nowhere. This, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to play ball for, like, the longest up until, like, high school. Yeah, I see him looking at me like, what? Yeah, I did for the longest. And then, like, after a while, like, I realized, I, like, people was always telling me that growing up, like, yeah, you're probably not going to do it, this, that, and the third. Mm. And eventually got to the point where I started telling myself that. And that was the only thing I ever wanted to do up until that point. And it was just like, what do I do now? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you can't let people that ain't, I'm going to say, come from poverty tell you what you can't do. Because mm-hmm. what it, like, you ain't come from, I mean, you ain't make it or,
like, make nothing of yourself.
Yeah, you ain't make nothing of yourself. You trying to tell me something that you ain't even, that's messed up.
What triggers my depression, I think, like he says, my family is really toxic, so it's just like, it's just always something. So I think that's what triggers it too. Also trauma, like past trauma.
Yeah. I'll say overthinking something about the trauma, like seeing something like, oh, damn, man, like I wish I had that, or I wish I never went through that. And it's like, damn.
My situation was like,
I see mine as trauma, heartbreak, and family ties. Like, it's to the point where I was expressing, like, someone helped me, you know? And it felt like I was in a room by myself. Like, I'm surrounded with people, but I'm here by myself.
It's like you can't even talk to family now.
Yeah, I don't got no outlet. So it's like, it's just builds and builds and builds until I pop. And then when I pop, it's like, everybody look at me like I'm crazy. But I've been telling people, I need help.
I feel like, especially when it comes to family, it's like, you'll be showing the signs of depression, or you'll be like showing them or telling them that you need help, but they won't help you until, like, you're on the verge of breaking down. Like, oh, I'm ready to end my life. No, y'all want to help me. No, where was all of that before I wanted to do all of that?
They think you're crazy. Like, you just doing it because we, like, parents think, or, like, just people that have higher 30s think, they think, oh, because you're young, you can't go through nothing. That's not true. That's not true. Because
especially in today's day and age with social media, everybody's constantly comparing themselves. Like, damn, what's his name? He's got a new Rolls Royce at 19 or at 17 or whatever. It's like, why am I not there yet? Like, am I not doing enough? Am I not good enough for that? Or, like, even girls, like, or they'll be, like, comparing themselves to, like, Kim Kardashian. Like, damn, why is my body not like that? Or, like, well, oh, I got hip dips or this, that, and the third, like, insecurities and stuff.
I got a question for y'all. So, like, how do y'all feel, like, when y'all tell somebody you depressed and they tell you, you too young?
That genuinely pisses me off.
Yeah, that just makes it worse.
Yeah, it's like,
that just makes it worse.
Tell me, bro? Like, where's the
I told my mom, I'm like, I'm depressed. And she was like, you're 18. What are you depressed for?
They were like, you don't know what depression is. I had to do this. I had to do this. You got everything you wanted.
They be like, oh, you ain't really going through nothing.
What's going on in your life that you depressed? You don't even know me.
Yeah.
You know who I was. You ain't get to, you ain't even try to get to know who I am today. People personality change every time. You know what I'm saying? You might not change, but you change over time by evolving, you feel me? Experiencing different things. And so for you to tell me that I'm not depressed and you ain't even tried to understand where I'm coming from or what's going on in my life, a major downfall, you feel me? Now I feel like I can't turn to you in my time of need.
You want to ask something?
I feel like one of the biggest things with, like, with this is, like, nobody knows how to validate other people's feelings. It's like when parents leave, I work two jobs, I'm paying all these bills, I'm putting food on the table, I'm doing all this, that, and the third. It's like, I'm taking care of you, so what are you depressed for? So it's like, in their head, they're doing everything they need, so it's like, when you say you're depressed, they come at you like, oh, you're not depressed for everything you need.
But sometimes it's just a point of love. I don't need that. You're not giving me the attention that my parents supposed to.
Like, having sit-down talks, asking you how you feel, like, taking you out.
Me talking about, I could tell my mom everything. Me and my mom, my best friend. I've never had that.
No, that's true. I didn't
either. My mom always told me, we not friends. I'm your parent. You feel me? So certain things, it's like, I can't come and talk to you about it. And then she look at me as though I'm sneaky because I can't.
Tell you nothing.
Yeah, I can't really converse how I want to, but I talked to one of my friends or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel me? Mm-hmm. They, she like, how they know more than me and I'm your parent?
Yeah. Definitely. Hey, my, it's not, but yeah, my, it's not like my mom don't do that. It's like, I just feel like if I tell her something, it's like, going out, what he said, going in the air and going out, it's like, I can't really express my feelings how I really want to. It's just,
you
want
to ask something?
Was at a point, you know, I was never close to my dad. I never talked to my dad. And it's like, he had friends, like, they grew up with, I would always talk to him. I was, like, way closer to them than I was with him. Mm-hmm. And it was certain points where he actually cut them out, the, out his life because I got close with him. And I talked to him, I didn't talk to him. Mm-hmm. This is recent, too. It's like, why would you cut a person out of my life just because I'm comfortable?
Well, you said he cut them out of your life or his?
Well, like, he cut, like, they don't come to the house no more. They don't
so he's trying to isolate you from them.
Yeah, so okay. It's like,
so you feel like you treat him more like your father than him. Yeah. That's your father.
But I mean, like,
you better earn that shit.
If they're here for me more than you are, of course I'm going to turn to them every time. Because when I want to talk to you, you're not there, so I'm going to confide in my friends more than I confide in you. It shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is.
Yeah,
I do. Do y'all feel like a parent should be their child's friend?
No.
I don't think they should. They shouldn't be their, like, their best friend, buddy, like, caring about all your experiences, like, especially when it comes to, like, relationships. But, like, you should be able to express whatever you want to. Like, if you really feel in a certain type of way, you should be able to express that to your parents and them not being judgmental about it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you should have that bond where you could look at your parent as a friend, but you got that fine line.
Like the respect.
Respect.
Like, you're not going to go into graphic detail about, like,
stuff you was doing.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you gonna whoop my ass because I told you I like telling you about like how I lost my virginity. Bro, if I was a young boy and I told my mom how I lost, it's like, you can't even, like, do that shit because they gonna whoop your ass.
I think that's why a lot of people have dads or don't have dads nowadays, both. But even when they have dads, the dads aren't present, you know? Like, they're there, but they're not emotionally present. They're just paying the bills.
They just
pay the bills, make sure there's food on the table, and then that's it.
Like, you're physically there, but not emotionally there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all mind if I take it back, to last episode? It's like, parents create sneaky kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I agree with
strict parents.
Yep.
Sneaky
kids.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
So, like, I would never want, like, if I was to have a kid, I would never want that type relationship.
Mm-hmm. You want them to feel like they can come to you anything.
I would want my child to be able to come and tell me, like, what's going on. I would be that outlet. Because that right there is what creates kids to have that distant relationship with their parents. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you always going to have love, but it's like, I don't really fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? You just my parent.
Yeah.
Yeah, another question.
Adding on to what Stephanie said, just that I feel like that plays back to a conversation we had on generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying how you might think your parents, and saying not emotional, but think about how their parents was treating them, you know,
mm-hmm.
saying, and raised them. They was raised the same way, and their parents before them probably raised them the same way. So you gotta take that into consideration.
No, that's real.
It's like, I understand that and stuff, but it's like, even though I was raised a certain way, when I have kids, I'm not gonna raise them how I was raised, because I know I don't.
So we gotta be the ones to
break the curse.
Right.
Sometimes. It shouldn't have had to take us.
Too
it should,
I feel
it
like my parents should
have
stopped the curse.
Yeah.
They should have broken.
I think people are just now waking up to that though. Like, our parents, they probably like was, oh, that's normal. Everybody acts this way. Like, every parent raises their kid this way, so it's normal. Like, especially as men, like back then, it's like, oh, you crying? Like, why are you acting like a girl? Or, like, you know what I'm saying? All that, like, propaganda, they, like, it's like, everybody, like I was just saying, everybody learns that same stuff, and so it just becomes normalized. And so everybody just has, like, that same experience. It's like, oh, okay, boys don't cry, girls supposed to do this, that, and the third. And then now people are starting to wake up to it, and it's like, we have to break these curses, these chains that we've been under for so long.
But that ties back to that ties back into the adapting to your environment.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Your household is technically your environment too.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? So if you, like me, I come from a family of tough love. You feel what I'm saying? My grandma had tough love with my mother. My mother gave tough love to us. You feel what I'm saying? So I adapted to that. Like, that's my normal. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, I'm used to being rough and being aggressive. Like, I got thick skin. Certain things don't hurt me that would hurt other people. You feel what I'm saying? And that ties into watching how you talk. Like, when I talk, I might say certain things, and it might sound like, yo, he talking crazy to me. But to me, that's normal. You feel what I'm saying? That's my normal. And you don't realize how that affect other people because of your toxic environment. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The world is definitely changing, though. You know what I'm saying? I say, like, what you said back in the day, what we used to be like, boys can't cry, all this. But you look at 2023, and now you see all this, the world's changing, like, transgender, men, like, I guess, sassy men apocalypse.
Do y'all think the world is changing for the better or worse?
Worse.
No, I feel like it's
worse. I think it's some aspects are definitely the bad is outweighing the worst.
And it's only coming.
I agree.
It's only doing that because people is not coming as a community to say something, to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it.
Everybody wants to be individuals.
I actually go against that.
What?
What you said. You said it's because people not speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, to me, it feels like people are speaking more than they ever have.
Mm-hmm. People just don't care.
Yeah.
A lot of things is starting to change, and you seeing new aspects of things. Like back then, bro, no disrespect, but you couldn't be a homosexual
mm-hmm.
and come hang with the straight guys. Like
mm-hmm.
it was boundaries to things, you feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but the way that things is changing is starting to make everything a little chaotic.
I agree.
One second before we get to you. Like you were saying, like, people are speaking up about it, but when people speak up about it, they do it in a way that's like pushing other people away. It's like, we're our own thing. Don't mess with us.
Yeah.
You can go do your own thing. Everybody's being individuals, and it's like, yeah, everybody should worry about themselves, but that's not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mind your business, but also, like, if you see somebody struggling, like, go offer a hand to help, you know what I'm saying? Especially if it's only going to take, like, 5 minutes out your day.
Okay. Like, no weird stuff, but, like, you know how, like, they protesting for the transgenders and how
mm-hmm.
all the things is starting to not become normal. Like, you know how, like, you can't be famous and you can't say, yo, that shit was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you offending the LGBT community
mm-hmm.
when the whole time you just joking. Like, you, certain things is starting to become too soft and it's changing
mm-hmm.
what's
yeah.
normal. You feel what I'm saying?
Even if you're just saying shit for what it is, like, you'll get, like, banned on certain platforms,
yeah.
or, like, even if you, like, if you say certain words and certain stuff, they'll, like, yellow mark or, like, take your whole video down just because you say, like, I don't want to say it on radio because we're going to get yellow marked. But, like, certain stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, bro.
Keep it being, bro. I just think you just got to live like how you said, bro. Mind your business, bro. Just keep it pushing, bro. Keep it. I don't want to say keep your ideas to yourself, but you just gotta know what certain shit you can't say in this day and age, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
If you want to survive, bro, that's just how it is, bro.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
The thing with that is, like, it almost makes you numb to everything. Like, you know, even, like, when somebody dies, like, you think about it, oh, people die every day.
Yeah.
It's like, and we numb to it, you know, so
that's
just
sad.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. Like, my religion, like, the way my father raised me is, like, death is just there, bro. It's no point in you being sad and crying when everybody lives to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And everybody got a set time. So while you here, you make the time worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you have to say to people that look at that in a negative light? Like, oh, I'm not going to be here that long anyway. So, like,
okay, so if you looking at it at like in that point of view, like I said, while you here, make the best of your time. People worry about other people's opinion or how they gonna look at me and how they gonna make me feel. If I'm being honest, like, me personally, it's just be you, bro.
Mm-hmm.
ever be who you is.
Don't give up.
You feel me? Can't nobody change your personality but you. Don't let people dictate how you live. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. While you here, make the best of your time, bro. Do whatever it is. Live with no regrets. Mm-hmm. Because death doesn't have a time. Death comes unexpectedly. And if you got loved ones, make sure you hug them. Make sure you let them know that you love them. Because, bro, you don't know when their time coming.
Mm-hmm. When it's your time, it's your time.
You can't fear death either. Mm-hmm. You can't fear death. We all believe in a higher up. Regardless if you're Christian, regardless if you're Muslim, regardless if you whatever. You feel what I'm saying? We all got that after place that we believe in. So just know that you in good graces. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That was lengthy.
Y'all want to move on to the next point?
We want to take it back to depression. Do y'all think that if somebody is depressed or they're struggling with depression and they got all these outlets, like we said, you got people that you could talk to, you got all these outlets that you could, you know, go to or whatever, and they don't take the help, do you think that it's on them?
It's partially on them. Like, you can't give them the full blame because they not even in the right mind to make those decisions, you feel me? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, if they don't want to be helped, you really can't help them. There's nothing you could really do. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody's a drug addict and you put them in the right area, you put them in a rehab center, and they run away from the rehab center, like, what can you do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think it's 50-50. Like, it's their fault because you're giving them the resources, but then at the same time, maybe they just the type of person that don't like talking, or they don't really know how to deal with this, so it's like, it's new for them, so it's like, mm-hmm. they don't really want
to know how to deal with it, even go about it.
About it, mm-hmm. yeah. It's like, they're going to have to take a while to, like, adapt to it, so I feel like it's 50-50. Mm-hmm. But you can't have somebody that don't want to be helped. Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes this might be too soon. Like, the trauma will still be there for, I don't know. Because, like, yeah, the trauma still might be there. So it might take a little while for them to understand, accept that it's there, and grow past it and say, all right, it's time to get help. Let me move on. You know what I'm saying? I think people still be lingering. And, like, the feelings and emotion that they had, for them to even acknowledge that the hope is there. Sometimes you just need that little push.
I look at it like that song, she don't want to be safe, don't save her. You can't help someone that doesn't want to help. It is not worth it, bro. You're going to stress yourself out trying to save somebody that don't want to be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like as a person trying to help somebody, you got to have the utmost patience with that person. Because, mm-hmm. like, if you push too soon, they're going to reject you. Mm-hmm. If you don't push at all, it's like they're not going to come to you at all. Mm-hmm. It's like if you wait that perfect amount of time, they're going to come to you. They're going to realize they need the help. They're mm-hmm. going to realize they need you. So mm-hmm. let them come to you. Don't push too hard too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I agree.
I think when, like, it kind of goes back to what I was saying last podcast, where it's like the past is in the past. It is what it is. You got to keep moving. You got to make the new experiences. Can't let the old ones bring you down, and when you have something to look forward to, it always brings you day, because you're like, oh yeah, I'm going now, I'm growing, I get to see, like, you doing, you say, like, I'm doing YouTube, like, oh, I hit this milestone, boom, now I'm like, yeah, I can keep going. I hit another milestone, boom, yeah, I'm gonna keep going. It starts snowballing, and then it gets to the point where it's like, damn, I'm finally at the place I wanted to be. You know what I'm saying?
I don't really got nothing to say. I agree with most of y'all.
Kevin?
Let me complete. Can you say the question again?
Next.
It's cool. We're going to move on.
How do y'all think past relationships affect your futures?
Like your past, like attachment, like past experiences, abuse, toxic.
How does that affect your future?
I'm gonna talk about attachment. Mm-hmm. I get attached too quick, and it's like certain people in the past, like that pushed them away. Like, they not used to people getting attached too quick, so it's like, I don't know.
So how do you feel like that affect, like, your relationships?
it's like I try not to get attached, but like
so it's just a negative impact.
You yeah,
think? A negative impact negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You wanna add something?
Thing about relationships is like if you focus too much on the past relationships with different people, it's gonna affect who you might meet in the future. So mm-hmm. say, you talk to a shorty in the past, right? And this shorty is a certain way. You meet this same, you meet another shorty, and she acting the same way, but like not acting the same way, but you assume since you're so used to this one person, she could be a whole different person, but you're pushing that away because you remember what this person did to you. So it's mm-hmm. like you're making it worse for yourself, and mm-hmm. you're not letting other people in.
I'm a piggyback off of that. Yeah, like it's like a repetitive thing. Like you, all right. So like my ex, she cheated on me. And she broke my heart. So like when I was a lover boy, you feel me? She took the love that I had and drained it. So like now it's like when I deal with females, it's hard for me to love. Like I'm scared of commitment. You know what I'm saying? I'm scared. I'm scared to go back down that hole. So it I don't know, bro. It led me to be a hoe.
Stop. Don't blame it on him.
Wait, whoa. So you saying like on camera you're a hoe? Don't you got a girlfriend? Never mind.
Nah, but
that's bad.
Oh,
I got one. I'm loyal. One year,
right? Nah, well,
that's like, bad. Like it made me scared of commitment. Like I got trust issues. I can't trust people.
But
no matter how good you show me, I'm always gonna have that thought like you're gonna do me wrong. So before you could do me wrong, I'm gonna reassure myself. I'm gonna make sure that I'm cool so that I won't go back down that rabbit hole.
I mean, I agree with that, but I feel like it's gonna cause an effect now because the person who scarred you, now you're gonna scar everybody else by entertaining multiple people, you're gonna give them love scars. It's gonna be a repeated cycle. It's gonna go on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But you could just like learn to trust, like learn not to be scared of commitment. Like just, I don't know, bro.
You me personally.
With, right?
Yeah.
So did you hear what he said? It takes a strong heart
to heal a broken soul. Yes, I understand
it. It's like broken. So like most people ain't strong enough to deal with me. They can't deal with the traumas that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that like I'm not healed all the way, but they don't take the time to stay.
I don't think I understand what you're saying.
I don't think you should be getting into relationships if you are broken, though. You feel me?
I don't do entanglements.
Okay, Jada. Yo, me personally, I think that you shouldn't be getting into any type of relationship if you're not healed from everything in the past. Once you get with a new person, they should have all your trust, all your everything. It should be like 100%. With everything with them, because you don't know what they're going to do to you. If they hurt you again, then that's just what's going to happen.
You gotta just take it out, you gotta move on.
Yeah, but it's like you can't go into that already thinking that's going to happen. You're going to fuck it up for yourself mm-hmm. just thinking that that's what's going to happen.
Because in your mind, you could be thinking, oh, she doing me dirty, da da da, but in reality, she not doing dirty at all.
You just
she
sabotaging the perfect yourself person for
you,
the
but
day.
You going to think that because of what you've been through. So, like,
Blue, you had something to say? So
how do I go about it? Like, if they never stay that long to try. You feel what I'm saying?
I think you just gotta reassess where you're finding these girls and if they really the right ones, you feel me?
Yeah.
Like they could put up the front like they're the right one, but like they still going out partying and doing all this.
What's wrong with partying?
There's nothing wrong with partying. I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying. There's like red flags.
Not even that. Because they could hide a flag. You just got to get to know them. You need to sit down, have a conversation
with
them.
Like, take your time.
What's your intention? You just trying to situationship or you trying to be in a relationship? It's like, take your L if that's what happened. But, well, if they lie, what you they going to lie. Take your L. But it's like, if that's what they saying, that's what they're going to do, you take it for what it is.
There also got to be a level of like just from an older perspective, got to be a level of accountability on your end, because what it sounds like, something I can relate to is there's some self sabotage there. Some like, yo, I dealt with some shit. I got some shit in the home, some shit in the neighborhood, past relationships. I ain't dealt with that yet. To ask somebody else to wait long enough for you to get your shit together isn't fair to them. I think about all the time, I don't have any children, but I think if I had a daughter, would I tell her to wait on a man to get his shit together? Or would I tell her to find somebody who got a table built?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I date as if their father gave them the advice I'd give my daughter. So I would highly recommend what one of my OGs told me. I was speaking to her. She's very successful, very beautiful, got all her shit together, all her ducks in line, 44 years old. But if she walked in here right now, all of y'all mouths would drop. She gave me advice. When you approaching a female, you need to come with two things in mind. A lot of us men, we say, what do you bring to the table? What do we have on our table? That's the first question we need to ask ourselves. Before we ask a female, what do you bring to the table? What do we have at our table? Then the second thing is, why does she need to bring anything to the table? I should have a table. She should have a table. Our table should be equally yoked, and then we'll work together. It's not going to work. If you date a bad bitch who's making $250,000 a year and flying to Milan four times a year, and you on the bus, it's not going to work because she wants to eat at Del Frisco's and you want to go to Chili's. It's not going to work. Same thing if you a multimillionaire. If you Diddy and you out here messing with one of these Kensington Johns, it's not going to work. Because you going to want her to understand, I got to be gone for 8 months while I'm making a play over here in Paris. And she's talking about some, why ain't you text me back fast enough? So there needs to be a certain level of accountability of, what have I done to build my table? And then can you match the energy of my table? Because you're not about to drag me down, and I'm not about to drag you down. You know what I mean?
I got a question. What do y'all feel like y'all bring to the table? And if y'all ask a girl, what can she bring to the table? What do y'all bring to the table?
I don't ask that question because I don't have.
But can you just go ahead?
I don't have anything to bring to the table.
What you bring to the table, Najee? Right,
me personally, and if I ever do get asked that question, guarantee I'm the same answer. I wouldn't say I bring anything. I don't feel well. I wouldn't say bring anything to the table. I would say there's a project for both of us to commit to, and if we can, the end result is probably a table. The end result is probably a house. The end result is probably a big family. It's like the table is just a metaphor for what you bring to me, and if I'm bringing something to you, it's really the idea of what we could.
Like he said,
we stay. Talk
his shit.
Y'all cannot all steal his answer, though.
No, it's not.
It's about building it piece by piece. Right. You can't expect it to happen overnight. You gotta.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, you bring the nails, I bring the hammer, the wood.
Okay.
We come in,
okay.
We bring the table together.
We might have some family members that got extra supplies too. That can just. Give us
two. Mm-hmm. We make our own.
It goes back to
make
like,
the table to make the plate on the table.
Damn.
I'm telling you. I feel like what my brother over here said. You can't, like Yusuf said too, you can't make a table overnight. I feel like everyone said basically. I feel as though we both have to try to, you mean like work up to that point to get to the table being built. I feel like it, like everyone said, don't come overnight. And that's how a lot of relationships ends, because they feel like, oh, what are you bringing to the table for me that can, like, it's like, how do
like they being selfish?
Exactly.
Going
like into like what are you doing for me? Like it's what we can
doing
do
to
exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now
I'm
gonna add on to what all y'all said. Most of us in the room, we still 17, 18, 19. We still got a lot of time to build this team, you know what I'm saying?
Or even getting still
in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And as of right now, I
even,
feel like
even when I do have that table, I just want a nice warm meal and a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I want.
We all broke college students.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of, yo, go support the Cash App at College Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Or at Breakfast College Club. Capital B, capital C, capital C.
Like to
the first part.
We make the table, use the resources to make the plate for the table. All
right, so what if we already got a foundation set?
Don't do
what
nothing.
If my table already built,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you come in,
mm-hmm.
and your table ain't finished.
Find somebody that already got a table.
Yeah.
It's like you're trying to make a project
but
out of
it.
Yeah.
Said,
together.
But that's different. But you already think, have your stuff said. Together.
Wait, listen, if it's like, if that table leaning, if I'm bringing a lap to the table. I'm serious. If that table leaning, leave, it's like, now you just fucking up.
Or maybe if the table is leaning, bring the hammer, bring the wood. We could fix the table. But don't hold the table.
Keep it a beam, bro.
Yeah.
Keep it a beam. It just sounds like you just need to have a high standard. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you really feel like they're not bringing enough to the table, you just got to be like, all right, you're not bringing enough. This is not going to work.
You got to find somebody else whose table is, like, finished, like yours.
Or at least a little more finished.
Yeah. Exactly. Because like, you how about we both try to rebuild this table? If I feel like, if I love you, right, and I feel like the table is leaning, I'm going to tell you what you can do to bring it to the table so we can fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's like the table is breaking even more, then I feel like you should lead a relationship or whatever relationship you in, a friendship.
You should never force love, ever.
It's always a thing of wanting to make it work.
That's true.
If my table is finished, yours not done, you can add pieces to the table.
But you can't change someone else's mindset for...
I'm not saying change your mindset. I said add pieces to it.
From whose side of the party?
You want a table that's decorated. Like, so when people come over, you can add the ornaments. Add a little thing here, add a little vase here, put the candles there. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
So we ain't even gotta be 50-50. Like, I'm cool with not being 50-50. We could be 60-40. We could be 80-20.
So you feel like 50-50 relationships, 50-40 relationships work?
It can work. It's all about your mindset.
That's not being on the same.
But sometimes you gotta give and you gotta take.
If I'm down, I would expect you to hold me until I get back up. Vice versa. If you down, I'm gonna be there until you get back up. I'm gonna always put the recipe to the plan.
But I agree. It depends. Only if they're trying to help themselves too. Because if I'm just trying to help you and you're not doing nothing for yourself, I'm not sticking around for that.
Or if you're giving, you always giving the 20, and I'm always giving the 80. I'm not sticking around for that.
All right, let me say this. It's with the Ken blank. I'm gonna just say this and I'm done. It's what you bring to the table. It's like. Yeah, I'm gonna just say it. I was about to get into some deep stuff, but it's cool. All
right. After.
Yeah.
But this was our first interview with Nasir. Clap it up for Nasir. And that's episode 13. Our Cash App is Breakfast College Club, capital B, capital C, capital C. Our Instagram is the College Breakfast Club _, and our TikTok is the College Breakfast Club podcast. And if y'all struggling with like mental health or anything, this is the number. For the hotline is 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And it's Yaz.
It's Dara.
Seth.
It's Kev.
And
our
guest, Nas.
And we done. Bye.